coming up on KUCB News. Last week, the city signed a 30-year power purchase agreement to bring geothermal power to Unalaska. And the Alaska State Health Department is prepared to receive a COVID-19 vaccine as early as November. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. A decades-long effort to bring geothermal power to Unalaska is finally moving forward. On Thursday, the city signed a 30-year power purchase agreement with Unalashka China Power LLC for 30 megawatts of geothermal-produced electrical energy from nearby Makushan Volcano. Officials from the U.S. Department of Energy say if successful, Unalaska would be the first community in the nation completely powered by geothermal energy. City Manager Aaron Reinders says Unalaska has been trying for nearly four decades to find an affordable way to build a geothermal power plant for the city at Makushan. But the plans of private developers have fallen through, largely due to high startup costs. The last attempt was abandoned in 2015.
Obviously, it's been a long time priority of City Council, you know, to really explore alternative energy sources for electricity. And, this project in particular has been on various radars since the 1980s, at least. So it's pretty exciting to have this whole project be as far as it is, and looking forward to seeing what the future holds on it.
Last year, Unalashka Corporation and China Power formed OCCP, a partnership to develop the geothermal resource at Makushan, about 13 miles from Unalaska's current power grid. Negotiations have been underway since early January between the city and OCCP to develop the power purchase agreement. A few of the primary concerns among community members and city leadership have been surrounding the financial risk of the project to ratepayers, and that seafood processing plants, which are self-producers of energy, haven't come on board.
Ultimately, you know, this is a public utility that's paid for by the ratepayers, you know, so there would be potential that that the rates would increase moving forward if, you know, just to kind of make so we can pay our bill, right? but ultimately those would be obviously discussions that would be held at the council level.
Givi Kawanowski is with the Department of Energy's Office of Indian Energy. He helps tribes and native corporations advance their energy interests and promotes energy sovereignty for tribes. He says, whereas fossil fuel rates fluctuate, the beauty of renewable power is that you're hedging against future rate increases.
If you look at your average cost of energy here, in general, the trend line is that it's going to rise in the future. The beauty about renewables is once you've installed the hardware, you have a fixed cost for the fuel, whatever it is, whether it's the wind, the sun with solar or geothermal, where you have a volcano that I just had the pleasure of checking out this past weekend that has got tremendous potential.
Bernie Carl, co-founder of OCCP and self-proclaimed imagineer of the Makushan Geothermal Project, started the first geothermal power plant in the state of Alaska at China Hot Springs in 1998. He will be moving to Unalaska to head up the project at Makushan. Carl says he's not in the least bit worried about the processors not wanting to buy power, because in the long run, he says, purchasing geothermal power from the city will be more reasonable for processors than maintaining and running diesel generators. And the more power OCCP sells, the cheaper it gets for the city, and the cheaper it gets for them.
I think they're going to be wanting more power maybe than we can produce. I think they're going to want to grow. I think they're going to want to expand. I think they're going to see other opportunities. And we will work closely with them to help them with the new opportunities that they see.
Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard visited on Alaska late last month in her capacity as a major in the U.S. Army Reserve. She came as part of a Department of Defense Innovative Readiness training mission to assess the island's future infrastructure needs. She also introduced the Off Fossil Fuels for a Better Future Act, or OFF Act, in Congress in 2017 to promote a just transition away from fossil fuels to 100% clean energy by 2035. She says she's excited about the opportunity for geothermal as a clean, renewable source of energy that will make Unalaska 100% sustainable and independent.
The opportunity that alone creates is tremendous, to include being able to increase your food security through being able to power greenhouses and allow you to be able to grow food here year-round. And it's also directly tied into the security component of this island chain really being centrally located in the Arctic region that is now becoming more and more active.
Kawanowski similarly recognizes the strategic location of the island and believes the first step towards national security is energy security. State legislators, city officials, and tribal and community leaders have been discussing a greater military presence in the Aleutians. And for the first time in more than 30 years, the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps have held large-scale exercises in the region designed to test their capabilities in a cold climate environment. During a city council meeting in late August, where councilors approved a resolution to allow the city manager to enter into the power purchase agreement, Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson said the Department of Defense has a goal of producing or procuring 25% of its electricity from renewable sources by 2025.
When it comes to power, geothermal will bring us the opportunity that none of this other stuff can do for us right now. And that is bring a diversification of our economy. If we hope to have the military come in here in some capacity, green power is going to be required.
Kawanowski says the power purchase agreement benefits all parties involved, and cheaper power brings development. If you look historically, he says, major industries come to places that have a lower cost of energy.
This community has a great economy with fishing and an extremely low unemployment rate. But it's a single focus economy, and I think other economic sectors could potentially come with lower cost energy.
OCCP is now working on securing building permits for the McCushion Geothermal Project and on financing the project through a loan through the Department of Energy and through private firms and investment capital. Officials estimate the project will begin operations in the final quarter of 2023. Optumera has been experiencing outages over the past couple of days due to wildfires in Washington state, says Jester Pertman, chief technology officer for the local internet provider. Pertman says that the hub end of the company's satellite connection is surrounded by wildfires and has suffered multiple fiber line breaks, which caused the outages. While connection has been reestablished since last night when Pertman made the statement, he says that fires continue to burn in the area and the company is looking for a satellite downlink that could be used if the issue continues. It is possible the connection will go in and out as they troubleshoot and fires continue burning, says Pertman. Meanwhile, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services is prepared to receive a COVID-19 vaccine as early as November, according to Alaska's Immunization Program Manager, Matthew Bobo. Last week, the federal government asked states to be ready to distribute a vaccine by November, but advisors in charge of the federal government's vaccine development say it's extremely unlikely a vaccine would be available by then, according to NPR. Alaska's State Health Department has put together a working group to determine how to deploy the vaccine to Alaskans. It will go out in three phases, Bobo said Friday during a news conference with reporters.
We expect during phase one and phase two that the supply will be constrained, so there'll be limited doses available.
Essential workers will have access to the vaccine first, then high-risk individuals, and then the rest of the population. Bobo says he expects the federal government will release the vaccine under an emergency use authorization, or EUA. States do have the ability to require vaccinations, but under an EUA, that isn't possible.
Under an EUA, you cannot make the vaccine required. So it would need to be licensed by the FDA before it can become a requirement by an employer, school, state, etc.
the vaccine will only be available to adults. A COVID-19 vaccine for children or pregnant women will not be available until next year or later, Bobo says, depending on clinical trials. And Alaska's tally of confirmed COVID-19 cases rose by 35 yesterday, bringing the statewide total to 6,724. That includes residents and non-residents who have tested positive for the virus. There have been 240 hospitalizations since the pandemic hit Alaska in March and 42 deaths. And in Unalaska, 102 people have tested positive for COVID-19. The city reported Friday that another UNICE employee tested positive for the virus after arriving to the island on August 25th via charter flight. The city says the individual had been in quarantine since arriving and is currently in isolation, being monitored by clinic staff. This is the fourth case related to UNICE in recent weeks. As of Friday, 1,860 people have been tested at Alulik Family and Health Services, and there are currently four active cases in Unalaska. The Unalaska City Council meets tonight via Zoom. Eight community members will be allowed to attend in person on a first-come, first-served basis. At their regular session, councilors will be reviewing federal and state legislative priorities. They will also be discussing continuing measures to protect public health during the COVID-19 pandemic and appointing judges and clerks for the city's municipal election on October 6th. The City Council will meet tonight at 6 o'clock. The community is encouraged to participate in the meeting. People can join Zoom online or telephone in at one of the toll-free numbers provided on our community calendar at kucb.org. Comments and questions can also be emailed in advance to City Clerk Margie Veeder no later than 5 p.m. today to be read into the record at the meeting. Or you can also listen live here on 89.7 FM or Channel 8 TV. The vet and dentist are in town this week. Aleutian Pet Care will be taking appointments through Friday at the Burma Road Chapel. They can be reached by phone at 359-1876. That's 359-1876. Also, Dutch Harbor Dental is taking appointments through Monday, September 14th. Dr. Nathan Faber and his team can be reached at 581-3828. Again, that number is 581-3828. They are also scheduled to return to the island in October and December. For more information, visit our community calendar at kucb.org. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.